Thank you, Mr. Williams. Happy Sabbath to you all, and greetings to both of you, I think, who are on the webcast. Well, it happened again. Just like it does every year, summer is gone, and the weather has started to turn cold. It stayed warm for a while, but like clockwork, before the feast began, the temperatures cooled down. And we got some of that fall weather. Now, often, we get one last warm spell here in Northeast Ohio after we come back from the feast. But before too long, the cool air settles in, and the cold temperatures of winter are soon to follow. Now, not everyone likes the cold. Some are willing to trudge through the sweltering heat of the southern states all summer just to avoid the cold. Now, personally, I don't mind the cold. Without the cold, there are things that you miss out on. My brothers and I loved to sled in the winter. We built ramps and winding sled tracks through our yard. I'm not very good at it, but I enjoyed the few times I've gone skiing. It's fun to hurtle down a mountainside and crash, creating a giant snow cloud at the bottom. And there are other things to look forward to, even if you don't like to play in the snow. When the cold comes, you get to break out warm hoodies and cozy sweatpants. And one of my favorite things that comes with cold weather. You see, when I go to bed at night, I would much rather the air be cold than hot. When the air is colder, you get to climb into bed, pull up the blankets, and that big, warm comforter. There's nothing like laying down, wrapped up in that comforter. Now, there are seasons in our lives that are cold. It's unavoidable. But with the cold comes comfort. Today, I'd like to look at how we can find comfort when we suffer and the benefits of both. I've broken this down into 5 points that we'll cover today. Point number one. When you suffer, and we all do at times, turn to God for comfort. Turn to God for comfort. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul knew a lot about suffering. Now, I don't know what the actual percentage is, but it sure seems like there's a lot more written about Paul's sufferings than about the happy times in his life. So Paul is a bit of an expert on the relationship between suffering and comfort. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. Paul knew, and he told the Corinthians, that God is the source of comfort. Turn to John chapter 16 and verse 7. Now, the Greek word comfort that we just read in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians is paraklesis. And that word probably sounds familiar to many of us. Paraklesis is very similar to a word used here in the Gospel of John. In John 16, Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples some very important lessons on the last night before he would be crucified. Metaphorically, this was a very cold night for him and for the apostles. Sorry, someone's calling me. John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him or it to you. Now the word helper, as it's translated in the New King James, is the Greek word parakletos. The King James Version translates this as the Comforter. Jesus Christ had to go, or else they could not receive the Comforter. Let's jump down to verse 13. However, when he, or it, as it would be better translated, the Spirit of Truth has come, he will guide you into all things, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is the essence of God, the power of God. And we are able to understand God and his power because of that Spirit. Turn to Luke 11 and verses 9 through 13. Jesus Christ instructs his disciples on how to pray here in chapter 11. And he tells them in the verses leading up to this, don't give up when things aren't going your way. When it's cold, when you need help, be persistent. Then in Luke 11 and verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When life is cold, turn to God. Go to him in prayer and ask him. Our Heavenly Father is happy to give us comfort through the Comforter. Please turn to Hebrews 13 and verses 5 and 6. Now we are going to turn to a few more scriptures for this first point than for the others, because it is quite possibly the most important point in this entire message. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? When we suffer, we don't need stuff. We need God. God is our helper. He is our source of comfort. God will be that comforter for us. And he will never leave us out in the cold. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Paul, who may or may not be the author of Hebrews, understood suffering. And he understood, maybe better than anyone, where to go for help, where to go for comfort. Hebrews 4 and verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When life is cold, we can be tempted to think we're useless, powerless, and we can't do anything. Or maybe we can fall onto the other extreme. I've got this. I can handle this. But we need to learn what Paul did, that we can do all things through Christ. God will comfort us. Point number two. When we suffer, turn to the Word for comfort. Turn to the Word for comfort. Please turn to Psalm 119, verses 49 through 52. Over and over again, in this longest chapter of the Bible, the psalmist expresses his love for the Word of God and the value of the Word, especially in times of suffering. Psalm 119 and verse 49. Remember the word of your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision. Yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. In times of distress, when things aren't going your way, turn to the Word of God. When you're freezing, His Word gives you life. Turn now to verses 161 through 165 of Psalm 119. God will comfort us in times of trouble. He will not leave us alone. But how do we know that? We know that God will be there for us because that's what His Word tells us. Psalm 119 and verse 161. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. The word of God is a great treasure. It is a thick, warm blanket to a freezing person. If we love the word and turn to it in times of suffering, it will bring us peace. And with it, we can handle anything, just like what we read in Philippians 4. Please turn to Romans chapter 15, in verses 1 through 7. Paul, this time writing to the church in Rome, tells us that the scriptures are there to build us up. They teach us. They help us learn the value of patience. And yes, they give us comfort. Romans 15 and verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. And that leads us to my next point. When we suffer, we should be able to turn to each other for comfort. We should be able to turn to each other for comfort. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again. And we'll read verses 3 through 11. Now, as I said before, the Apostle Paul understood suffering, and he understood the importance of comfort. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by. God gives us comfort in our tribulation, not only for our own benefit, but so that we can then give that same comfort to our brethren. Now here in verse 4, there's another Greek word translated comfort. It's the word parakaleo. It's very similar to the other words we discussed. And they all have the sense of calling to someone, or standing or walking alongside them to comfort them. So if we call on God for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come to our side when we need comfort, we should in turn be able to use that Spirit to walk with our brethren when they need comfort. Let's continue in verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. When we suffer and we are comforted, we are better able to empathize with others when they suffer. We understand even better how important comfort is, and we can offer comfort to each other. Verse 8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. This goes back to our first point. Suffering should lead us to God. And if our God can raise the dead, he can certainly take care of us through whatever trial we're going through now. Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also, helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Turn to James chapter 5 and verses 13 through 16. Paul said that God will help them through all their trials in Asia, or that he had. But it wasn't just God who helped them. The brethren in Corinth were able to help also, even though they were miles and miles away. James 5 and verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We may not be able to take away each other's suffering. And even if you could take away the burden of one of our brethren, that might not be what's best for them, because God is often working with us on multiple levels as we go through a trial. But just because you can't physically take away a brother's or sister's burden doesn't mean you can't help. Our prayers for each other are of great value. Our prayers can bring comfort to our brethren. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. Now, in the early years of the church, it seems that there were many who thought that Christ was going to come right back after he left. After all, Jesus said he would come back before John died, right? That's a joke, of course, because we know that that's not what Jesus was saying at the end of the Gospel of John. But as time went on, and Christ didn't return, some of the brethren had died. And it seems that this was troubling to some in Thessalonica. They may have even started to lose hope, wondering if he was really going to return. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. When we suffer loss, what is more valuable than the understanding that there is still hope? The knowledge of the plan of God is a source of warmth, a source of comfort. And Paul's instruction is that we should be there for each other, to comfort each other during those times. Point number four. Our suffering now prepares us to comfort others in the future. Our suffering now prepares us to comfort others. Please turn back to James, this time chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. Now, this is one of the most difficult verses in the Bible. Not because it's hard to understand, because it's hard to do. But at the Feast of Tabernacles this year, where we attended in Orange Beach, one of the speakers presented this verse in a way, how should I put it? He presented it in a way that emphasized the greater value of doing what it says here. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How do we count it all joy when we go through trials? Well, when you put it into the context of God's ultimate plan for humanity, there is even more value in understanding that our trials prepare us for the roles that God wants us to play after Jesus Christ returns. Our trials make us complete to fulfill our purpose during the millennium and the great white throne judgment. Our trials help us to comfort our brethren in their trials now, but they also prepare us to comfort those who have gone through all manner of suffering throughout the history of mankind. Let's go to Isaiah 30, in verses 18 through 21. God is preparing us. He is perfecting us through our suffering. Not just for our benefit, and not just for the benefit of our brethren. The work of God is that God is doing in us will benefit countless numbers of people in the future. Isaiah 30 in verse 18, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, who shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. God has called us in this life so that we can teach humanity the right way to live. Our trials and our suffering and the comfort that God gives us as we go through them prepare us to serve everyone else. And when they have their chance to understand the wonderful plan of God. Point number five. And I'm sorry I did not have a punchy way to say this, but when we suffer and receive comfort, we develop a long-range view of our suffering. And that will bring us comfort as well. You got it all down, so I won't repeat it, right? All right. When we suffer and receive comfort, we develop a long-range view of our suffering. And that will bring us comfort as well. As we move away from the Feast of Tabernacles, trials and suffering will undoubtedly come our way. But if we hold on to the vision of what God is doing in all of our lives, we should be able to view those trials in the context of the big picture. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verses 6 through 9. Paul writing to Timothy here, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, the Comforter, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. We have the Comforter in us to give us the strength we need to get through our trials. And God has called us to be those comforters for others. Understanding His own purpose for us and for our suffering is comforting, like a warm blanket on a cold winter night. Please turn to Psalm 73 and verses 1 through 17. Psalm 73 and verse 1, a psalm of Asaph. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It was hard for him when he had to suffer and others didn't, and he almost fell. Verse 4. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. The bad guys don't have to suffer. What's your God going to do to them? They say. Verse 13. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generations of your children. We don't have time to turn there, but Asaph was not some average Joe. He was in a position of influence in Israel. And if he had voiced his thoughts when they entered his head, he would have damaged the generations that followed. What damage might we cause, if we lose heart? Verse 16. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. It is comforting to understand how our suffering fits into the big picture. Turn finally to Psalm 37 and verses 23 through 29. Without the cold, can we really appreciate the warmth that we feel when we crawl under the blanket on that comforter? Without trials, can we really understand comfort? Without suffering, can we empathize with others and their suffering to be those comforters that they will need? We will have to go through the cold, but God will keep us warm. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, David says, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever.